is that this week is going to be tochein, grinding, but I was asked to do a special component on medicine issues and the application of the gzeira against use of medicine because of grinding in our day and its application to various kinds of medication that we now have. So that will probably be what I'm going to cover in the shiur on Thursday of next week. This week, I want to wrap up tochein proper. I may get started on medicine. Depends, you know, how it goes. But certainly there will be a lot of medicine left to cover. I didn't even put all the medicine stuff on the sheet. I only put a few myrmecomas for medicine there. Okay. Tochein itself. Tochein. So tochein is grinding. That's what we are talking about. It is separate from the malacha of mechatech, as we're about to see in the Gemara. There is an av of mechatech, cutting things into pieces of a specific dimension in order to make them usable, as opposed to tochein, which literally the way we use the word tochein is grinding, but here we're going to need to refine our understanding of what grinding means. If you take a look at source Aleph, that's the key Gemara Shabbos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Amar of Papa, Hayman de Parim Silka Chayav Mishum Tochein. Rav Papa says, if you are Parim Silka, so Parim Silka means that you cut silka into fine pieces. Parim is relatively easy. Begadav lo yifrom, it's an idea of tearing or cutting. Silka is usually rendered as teradin, or as I think if I remember correctly, Rav Weiss used to say in Yeredeya, tardin. Either way, in modern Hebrew, tered is spinach. However, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, and we'll be coming back to this, these are beets. So if you cut beets into really small pieces, you are liable for tochein. Amar Rav Menashe, Haiman de Sulis Silsi. Rav Menashe says somebody who is Sulis Silsi. Rashi says, Eitzim Dakin Lahavir Kash. If you cut small pieces of wood in order to burn straw, Chayav Mishum Tochein, you are liable for tochein. So in other words, tochein is not just about food, but it's also about non-food materials. Amar of Ashi, Ikapet Amishcha Sachai Mishum Mechatech. So Ashi says, well, if you want that particular dimension, then you do have Mechatech as a separate problem. Amar Rava, and Rava says, Haiman the Avid Chavita, he says, if you make a barrel, Chai Mishum Sheva Chataos, you could be liable for 7 different Chataos. Wow. Tanura, an oven? Ha, 8. Amar Abaye, Haiman the Avid Chalsa, he says, if someone makes a Chalsa, which Rashi says is a reed basket, you know, you weave the reeds, that's going to be 11, and one of them is going to be, as Rashi there explains, for cutting up the reeds into the proper dimensions. There is, of course, going all the way back to Adam's discussion introducing Malachas of Shabbos, there is a machlokes as to whether the prototype for tochein is in the creation of the Mishkan or in the ongoing function of the Mishkan. Rashi says that it's about the construction of the Mishkan. Rashi on Memtes Amud Beis says it's about grinding ingredients for dyes, whereas Rav Haigon or Rabbeinu Hananel, who will talk about it in terms of the ongoing function of the Mishkan, say it's about grinding up the flour that you needed for the Karban Tamid, that you needed for the Chavitim. We just did Aleph, that's it. That's just the basic, you know, where does this come from discussion. Generally speaking, the understanding of the Rishonim seems to be that the Av Malacha here is by default pulverizing, okay, as opposed to grinding the way we think of it as cutting. However, it also includes cutting if that's the way to make an item usable. The difference between pulverizing, just to be clear, pulverizing is you crush the item into a powder, as opposed to when you cut something really finely. Clear? Okay, so the Rambam says this very clearly. The Rambam in Mishneh Torah, I brought it for you in Source Beis, in Hachos Shabbos Perches Halacha Tesvav, Hatochein Kigrogeres Chayev, if you grind up a dried fig quantity, then you're liable. V'chalashochek tavlin v'samanim b'machteshes, and if you are shochek, if you pulverize spices in a machteshes, in a mortar, hareze tochein v'chayev, that's tochein, and you are liable. That's your av. Whereas, he says, hamachatech yerek talush, if you cut up a vegetable that's not connected to the ground, so we're not dealing with kotzer or whatever issues, but if you cut up a vegetable, hareze told us tochein. That's the tolda. V'chein hanosir eitzim lehanos b'nisara shalahen. And similarly, if you chop up wood in order to benefit from the small pieces, o hashraf lashon shamateches, or if you plane metal, you're scraping off layers of the metal, chayiv mishayishov kolshu, any minimal amount, it's not a grogeres there because you're not eating it. But the point is that when he gets to mechatech, he applies tolda terminology. Rashi in Beitza Zayin Amud Beis says that pulverizing dirt is a tolda. So the Igle Tal is bothered because I thought pulverizing was the Av. And he floats the idea either that Rashi's case is pulverizing by hand, and by definition Tochein involves as an Av, a tool, or alternatively he says dirt may be a tolda in general, pulverizing dirt as opposed to food, because it doesn't really match what was in the Mishkan. Either that was the spices or that was the flour. It's not dirt. Rashi does seem to agree with the Rambam, calling cutting a tolda on Kufchav Ches Amud Aleph, which I actually brought you in Dalet. I see what I did. Yeah, sorry. Take a look first at Gimel. That's just an extension of what we saw in Beis, but it's another piece in the Rambam where he makes this distinction between Av and Tolda clear. He says, Atolda hi hamalacha adoma la'av me'elu ha'avos. The Tolda is a malacha that looks like the Av among these avos. Ketzad hamachatech es hayerek ma'at ma'at levashlo. If you cut the vegetable into very small pieces for cooking, harezechayev, you will be liable. Shizu amalacha tolda stachina, because that malacha is a tolda of tochein. Can you just ask him to? Thanks. This malacha will be a tolda of tochein. Shat tochein lokeach guf echad machaka legufim harbe, because tochein involves taking a solid piece and dividing it up into many pieces. V'chol ha'oseh davar adom lazeh harezeh toldas tochein. So that will be considered a tolda. So the Rambam makes it very, very clear that cutting the greens into small pieces is a tolda. He also, it says lavashlo to cook it. We're going to have to come back to that word because I don't know what that word is doing there yet. But that's the Rambam's position, and Rashi seems to agree in Dalet, despite the Rashi and Beitza about dirt. He says haiman deparim silka dami letochein. It looks like tochein, like the Rambam said, domeh. So that would indicate that Rashi agrees that the act of cutting is actually a tolda. But we need a better understanding of the nature of tochein. You need a better understanding of what exactly it is that you're trying to accomplish when you do tochein, and it's going to affect many different applications of this malacha. The problem that you run into is the following. Rashi and I in Dalet Amud Beis, that core gemara that we started with in Aleph, it's in source Hay, is talking about the baskets, right? Where you cut up the reeds to make the basket. So look at Rashi. He's in that list when it says you could violate 11 different malachos, asa and dakos. If you make them thin, me achas shtayim o shalosh, you turn one into two or three, hareze tochein. This is tochein. Not like tochein, but it is tochein. It sounds like suddenly Rashi has decided that mechatech is the av malacha. So the Igle Tal says that's exactly right. He offers the resolution. He says, if you take a look at Vav, I brought you an excerpt. Vitzarech lomar desvirale davka silka shim kocho heitev tov lo yoser desilka hainu tradin. He says silka specifically is an av where you pulverize it, right? Because that's what's better for it, because it is trudin, it is beets. The side note on that, just because I want to clarify what he's saying there, first of all, in terms of identifying trudin with beets, you see it very clearly in the Mishnah and Uktzin. The Mishnah and Uktzin talks about chalifos trudin. It's in the first parak. And the Rambam there comments that trudin are a root that remains in the ground, and it just produces leaves that people eat. Right? We tend to eat the beet as well, but the primary product is actually the leaf that just keeps on coming back. I have a horseradish root that I've left in the ground for years, and it just produces leaves, and I eat the leaves. The leaves of the horseradish are, if anything is maror on a horseradish, it's the leaf. But
nutrients in the leaves on beets.
Sorry?
There's more nutrients in the leaves of the beet than the beet itself.
Ah, nutrition. Even better. Why else would you have a vegetable? The Gemara in Erevin on Chaf Ches Amud Beis has a discussion about whether you can use Terudin for the Erev meal. Right? For Erev Chatzeros. Or Erev Tchumen, actually. the Erev Chatzeres better be bread. But for the Erev Chumen, and the Gemara there says that you can't use raw beets. They're not good for you. Raw trodden, they're not good for you. You have to cook them. Which supports the idea that that the silka thing is beets, and that indeed they're supposed to be cooked, which we're going to come back to. And most important, the Gemara in Brachas Lamites says that they are best when they are pulverized. It's also seen in that Gemara in Erevin. So the point is that, and this is what the Iglei Tal is picking up on. He says it's pulverizing when you're talking about silka, because that's the way you eat silka. But he says, so therefore, you're not going to be chayiv until you actually pound it. But when it comes to the reeds that you want to use for the basket, right? If you try to pulverize the reeds, you're not going to have a basket. So then he says, so then it's the cutting finely that is tchina. So tochein is specifically where you reduce it to small pieces in the way that is most usable. That's the idea. So that has many different applications. We've now defined tochein as breaking something down into smaller parts to the form in which it is normally used. So one application of this is vegetables that are normally pulverized. So the Iglei Tal writes, it's in Ches. Is it in Ches? No, sorry, it's in Zion. I'm just trying to figure out why I did it the way I did it there. All right, the Iglei Tal writes, Horu mitzas hagaonim sheyerek shedarko lekocho uktishaso tov lo yoser mechatichaso dak. He says, if you have a vegetable which is normally pulverized, and that's actually better than cutting it finely, so you won't be chayav for cutting it unless you actually pound it. Then you know it's vein kein das rov haposkim. You should know that that most people don't agree. But where is the concept coming from? It comes from this idea that if a vegetable is normally pulverized, then that's what you're going to be chayav for. I don't really understand, though, because I don't understand why it shouldn't still be a tolda. In other words, I thought we were discussing Av and Tolda, not Chayav and Pater or Mutter. But he indicates that there are Gaonim who want to say, no, this is actually not going to be an issue at all. Right? The Eino Chayav Achatichaso Ad Sheikachanu. It's even stronger than reducing it from an Av to a Tolda. But another application of this would be cutting something into small pieces and then pulverizing it. Right? Let's say I have something that I want to have as a powder. Right? But I know I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Right? I want to take pepper. I want to pulverize pepper into a powder. Not allowed to do that on Shabbos. What if I cut it into really small pieces on Friday? So I already did tochein. Right?
Tochein achar tochein.
Ain tochein achar tochein. That's right. As we're going to see, there's no such thing as retochein. Once it's already tochein, that's it. So let me cut it into really small pieces on Friday, and then I'll pulverize it on Shabbos. Can I get away with that? So the Iglei Tal in Ches says, Hakotesh samamanin b'machteshes. If you pulverize things in the mortar, uba acher v'chazer v'kacho, and then someone comes along and does that further, actually, a daka min hadaka. So now it's really ground up. Nirali shepater. It would appear that he is pater. Shezet dezet doma lebishul kamaychal ben drusai. Deshuvin chiyuv al bishul. It's just like in bishul achar bishul. Just like we said when it comes to cooking. If it's already cooked, you can't recook it. If it's already been pulverized, it can't be repulverized. Now there, he's talking about where it's been ground up, right? In the machteshes, it's just not as pulverized as you would want. And he says it's already ready for use. He has the question, as a side note, we say regarding the Ketores, that Erev Yom Kippur, right, they would take the Ketores they wanted for Yom Kippur, and they would then pulverize it, Shedakim and Hadaka. So, we say they do it on Erev Yom Kippur, because you're not allowed to do it on Yom Kippur itself. So, why can't I do it on Yom Kippur itself? It's already been ground once. And his answer is, that's a different story, because there, it's not fit for use until it's Dakim and Hadaka. So therefore, you have to do it on Erev Yom Kippur. Nachon. Aber mashu asa pam rishona kanira lo yadaka daka min hadaka. Aber yadak. Nachon.
Which is what Zion is. Zion is he did it machateh, and then he was kokesh, and that's also right. Did I misunderstand that? Zion.
Why was Zion that?
No, this is what
do you mean?
All in one shot.
Where? What are you looking at? The Haru Mitzvah Zagonim. But that's the one time. He doesn't talk about there. What if you did the Chaticha first? He's saying there. I mean, what he is saying in Zion is that Chaticha is not meaningful in terms of being Chayav.
Right.
I mean, your best example is really going to be Rabbi Ribiad in Tess. Because trying to extrapolate from Zion is going to be tricky. But take a look at Rabbi Riviat's note. He says, grain, vegetables, pieces of wood, etc., that were chopped or cut up once before, may not be diced or chopped even smaller. He doesn't want you to redo it, because the second dicing cuts the pieces even finer than before, and thus achieves an additional step in the grinding process that was not reached before. However, if the item being chopped has already reached the level of grinding that it requires for its purpose, it's already usable, and that's the key. Further grinding can, in some cases, be permitted. It's not about whether I cut it first or whether I pulverized it first. It's about whether it had achieved the state at which it is usable for its purpose. Now, he says in some cases, and I'm not clear on what in some cases means, but the point is, this all comes out of defining tochein as cutting it into the form in which it is normally used. Because it's about what is normally used, that means that vegetables that are normally pulverized, it's not tochein if I cut it up into small pieces. It means that if I cut it to the point where it's usable already, and then I pulverize it, the argument can be made, ain't tochein achar tochein, because it was already in usable form. There are other applications which are going to come up in the course of the shiur, but I'm just going to mention what they are, and then we'll recognize them as we go through it. The definition of small pieces. When we talk about what counts as small pieces to be liable for tochein, is going to depend on utility. The question of whether tochein applies to food that you can eat without grinding it up will be relevant to this as well, because then there is no such thing as cutting it into usable form. It's already usable. The Rambam is going to exclude fruit from the issur of tochein. We're going to understand that in this light. And the Rambam statement, which we've already read, but we have to come back to, that tochein is only when you cut something for cooking, could also be understood in this light. All based around this idea. This key fundamental idea that we've developed, that tochein fundamentally is about cutting something into small pieces such that it will then be usable. Side note, which I'm not going to do in depth in the shir, but is worth recognizing because some of the achronim really spend time on this. Source Yud, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Aser ligror hagvina b'shabes b'morag charutz bal pifios." He just wants to show off that he knows Tanakh. Shekorin, whatever it is that they korin it. The Ralio, I don't know. The Raleo, okay, that sounds better. You're not allowed to scrape cheese using some kind of a really harsh blade that they used to use to scrape cheese. This is a completely different discussion. This is what we call Uvda Dechol. Is a Uvda Dechol, if anyone can ever explain to me Uvda Dechol, I will gladly give you as much time as you want to explain this to me. Because I don't have enough of a grasp on what Uvda Dechol is, except that it is some kind of weekday activity which may be associated with commerce and may not. But you're not supposed to use a kli which is associated with this kind of weekday activity, even if the act you're doing with it has no malacha associated with it. If you want to know more about its application to tochein, take a look at the Rivash in Siman Kuf Pei Dalid. What I will know, we were discussing it a couple of days ago, or yesterday, feels like a couple of days ago, that Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Perek Vav, Si'if Gimel, and in Si'if Katan Yud Beis, allows you to use an egg slicer on Shabbos. He says that's not Uvda Dechol, even though the cheese sledge or whatever it is that they're using for it is a problem. He says the egg slicer is not a problem, because he says we don't use an egg slicer commercially. It's used in the home, it's a clay seuda, and it's really just made of normal knife blades that you attach to a frame, which I thought was funny. I don't know what kind of egg slicer they're using in Shari Chesed, but I'll take the head there. Yeah. Right. It's a mandolin. I mean, it's a really fine, not a mandolin, it's a garret. It's a wire, it's a garret, right, not a mandolin. I don't quite follow that, but I do agree it's a kli seuda. I mean, it's not used at the table. It's not something that, is in a factory. Okay. But now.
Can you say tochein to food, already prepared food?
So, what do you mean by prepared?
It's being cooked.
Yes. Tochein can apply to cooked food. We'll talk about that a little bit. The kushwood thing is going to be a minor point, but in general, yes, we have to talk more about what your materials are. What I want to do now that we've defined what tochein is, in the sense that it is breaking down food into a usable form, you're going to find an egg slicer that looks like that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Israeli egg slicer. Mount Yerushalayim. What I want to do now is go through first the act of grinding, and then once we talk about the act of grinding, then the material itself that is ground up. Those are the two major categories that we have to address. So first of all, the ground up material, we already know, but I stress it because people don't realize it, that it includes non-food items, right? We saw the barrel, right, and the basket examples on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. So we know that it's non-food items as well. But among food items, that Gemara gave us, right, Source Aleph told us about silka, right, cutting silka. Silka, we said, are beets. So what am I meant to extrapolate from there? What other cases am I supposed to learn from the example of silka? So the answer, of course, is it's a machlokas. The Tosfos and the Rosh take the view that tochein only applies to silka. If you take a look on your sheet at... hang on. What did I do there? Oh, you know what I did? I jumped down in my notes. Sorry, scratch that. We're going to be talking about that. Those are still not knives. No, they're curved. It's not. He found the best new kitchen gadget under $20. It's not. that's what the page says. That's better. But it's a fruit slicer. We know Gaia. Okay.
Egg slicer.
Fruit slicer. Okay, let's go. The act of grinding. Sorry, we're going to come back to the business about the non-food items and so on. I jumped down in my notes by accident. The requirement is that it's also specifically when you cut it into small pieces. But how small is small, we're going to say in a moment, but just noting Rashi says in Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, Source Yud Aleph, Mechat Cho Hadeik, right? You cut it into small pieces. Tosfos mentions that. Tosfos on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis is really bothered. There's a nice discussion there about preparing your food for after Yom Kippur on Yom Kippur and what you're allowed to do. And they talk about knivas yara, which sounds like cutting up vegetables. And the question is, Tosfos asks, what do you mean? We just said parim silka. You're not allowed to do that. So Tosfos there explains that it's okay because there it's not talking about small pieces. It's just cutting them in general. That's his justification there. Note, though, that when we say small pieces, that doesn't mean specifically small pieces like a square. Long strips are included as well, like we said regarding the basket on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. However, long strips of vegetables, we're going to come back to, not necessarily long strips of vegetables. Not necessarily regarding food. We're going to come back to this. I should have put it here, but all right, we'll come back to it. What constitutes small pieces? Pieces that are now usable in their normal use. That's the idea. Going back to what we had said about it being all about their normal use. So we're going to see the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is going to think that the definition of small pieces, at least according to the Rambam, is that it's fine enough for you to cook it. Right? Meaning, if I want to cook a carrot, if I put the carrot in boiling water, it's going to take a long time for it to cook. If I cut it up into small pieces, the exposure of the pieces to the water, to the hot water from many different sides, is going to, and the decreased volume that it has to penetrate to, is going to cause it to cook faster. However, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos gives us another definition, which I find easier to work with, and I brought it for you in Source Yud Beis. Yeah?
But you can't cook carrots anyway.
What do you mean? Not on Shabbos, but it's saying the definition of cutting it to the usable form is if you cut it to the form in which it would be cooked. That would be the idea. So take a look at Source Yud Beis, please, where I brought you the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos's position. He quotes you the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, "Deino chayav mishum tochen al vachotech eitzim dak dak." It's where you cut it really small. And then he says, "Veshamati ma'agon or Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, Sha'aramban b'mochamos in Beitza." If you cut wood with a cleaver, that already is tochein. That's even though they're going to be somewhat large. Venim dak dak, they're certainly not really fine. You don't sit there with a meat cleaver and cut wood into tiny, tiny pieces. And yet you're chayiv, afilu achi chayiv. V'hu mishum, dekeven shetachan osam ad shiro'im l'tafkidam, since he cuts them to the point where they are usable for their purpose, hareze chashiv tochin. That's already tochin. So here's the key. He says, then if with wood, it's when it's usable for its purpose, it doesn't need any further cutting. The same thing is true with food. It's only tochen if it doesn't need further cutting by your teeth. If you could swallow it.
Flour.
Other than flour, that's true.
Any food that you're going to eat at a meal.
Any food that you're going to eat at a meal.
Yeah. Vishani bikwa, and he says, what is a different story? Because he doesn't need to get that fine at all. And then he goes on from there. But yes, I brought this. This goes back many years. When I was in Allentown, there was I gave a shiur on preparing food for Shabbos, and there was a girl who was there, and she went to high school in Philadelphia, and she wrote me an email. She said, my rabbi said this sounds like such a strange shiur, the swallowing shiur. Her teacher said that has to be wrong because that's a very large size, right? Swallowable. I mean, pill size. That already is tochen. So I referred him to Shmir Shabbos Kehilchos, and it was good. I had it in my email, then I could just, get the reference out. Go Gmail archive. But that's the idea. In fact, that swallowability is already enough to say this is now tochen. If you cut it small enough that you could swallow it, once chewing is no longer needed. That's the position of Rosh Shlomo Zalman. It appears it need not be very, very fine in order for somebody to be chayav. People might make the assumption that it has to be ground up really fine in order to be tochen. It's not true, at least not according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Coming back to the vegetables into long strips, I really should have done it before, but I brought it in my notes here. Rav Moshe makes the point that you can cut food into long strips and not be liable. So that's another reason why the spiralizer is fine. Take a look at Yud Gimel, where Rav Moshe basically throws up his hands and says, do you want me not to allow people to eat food anymore on Shabbos? He says, Hayim iser tchina b'yirakos hu davka kishachodich dak dak ba'orech uberochav. Is it called grinding when you cut into fine pieces, both length and width? And he says, "Ketchinas kemach, like flour." There's your example. Ogam kishachodich ba'orech levad, uberochav levad, k'mo shozim b'gezer mlafonim v'agvaniyot. Or is it also, even if it's just small in one dimension, as is done with cucumber, carrots, and tomatoes? I don't know what he means with tomatoes. I don't know what kind of tomatoes they have, but okay.
Strips
of tomato, but on which dimension are you? Well, it doesn't matter. What is it? Tshuva. Okay, tshuva in your gimbal.
When you make it for like a hamburger.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Levi is two-dimensional.
Okay, because that's the problem. I'm thinking three-dimensional versus two, not two-dimensional versus one. That's the...
He's saying not a tshuva. Yeah. He's saying on a hamburger.
Let's just read what he says. Levi is daiti pashut. Shirak lasos bekanim la'asiyas chalsa. You're correct. He says... Only if you're cutting reeds to make a basket. That's where we invoke the Rashi that we did in the beginning, where Rashi said you're cutting one reed thin into two or three reeds. So you cut two or three, depends on how thick the thing was to begin with, but you need thin reeds. That's the only kind of tochen that's relevant there. That's why making a long, thin strip is tochen, because now you have cut it to the point of usability. But not food. It can't be true for food, because for food, really, tochen to a usable form is going to include cutting it down to these tiny pieces. But he's willing to say this even if what you're talking about is something that is usable when it gets to the two dimensional point. It doesn't make a difference. Di lochein harileka gavulaze. He says otherwise there's no limit. Di aser lachto chikar lecha machatichos ketanos. Right, I wouldn't be allowed to cut thin slices of bread. Right, aside from ein tochen achar tochen, which would permit it anyway. But he says if you had an apple, you couldn't cut an apple into slices then either on Shabbos. He says come on, he's just not willing to believe that that's the case. So Rav Moshe ends up with this kula regarding regarding cutting vegetables or food into long strips, and he says you're okay.
Pickle for an example, so I could eat the pickle, just start eating it.
Right.
Or I could slice it into spears.
Correct.
And cut it into pieces.
Correct. As long as they're not swallowable whole, you seem to be okay.
Like Israeli salad size, that's the only time it would be compulsory then.
Well, that's the question, is what about the Israeli salad size? We still have, more to talk about. We ain't done. And that's good, because it's 11 o'clock. But in terms of, Tommy asked the question, what about if it's been cooked before? So I have a side note here that I really didn't want to get into, so I'm not. But just to note, Shri Shabbos Hilchasa discusses it, Ramosha discusses it, others discuss it. They talk about spreading mashed banana and cutting potatoes that have already been cooked. And there's nice discussion in all the Svarim about the cooked food and whether it's already considered to have been cut because it's already been made into these smaller pieces, but they're stuck together. It's a whole thing that I just didn't want to go into here, but know that there is such a discussion, and yes, a cooked thing could be subject to tochein. Yeah?
Question. See, pulverizing means there's a lot of energy exerted on the product by the person.
Right.
Cutting doesn't have that energy. Why isn't
I think because it's fundamentally a consideration of actions which reduce food to small pieces without it necessarily requiring all that much effort in order to do so. We will distinguish a little bit shortly in terms of different types of transformations. And there it will be more relevant, but it still won't be about the energy that you invest. That's correct. Pesa. Right, I mean, you could always say butla daito, if you wanted to do that. But yes, it would certainly create shiurim within shiurim.
It seems to be more result-oriented.
I think so.
A garlic press doesn't take energy, but that's about as tochen as you get.
Right. I think that's true. Okay, so there are a few exceptions, two exceptions really, to liability here. We said that it's also when you cut into small pieces for usability, but first exception, shinui. What if you do it with a shinui? So the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, the source you dalid, Amar Yehuda Hani Pilpili, peppers, Medak Chada Chada Bekata Desakina Shari, if you grind them up or cut them up one by one using the handle of a knife, that's okay. Tarti asir, but not two at a time. Rava Amar came into Mashani, afilu tuvanami. Rava says, I don't care how many you do, because you're using a shinui. You're doing it in an unusual way by using the handle of the knife. So there is a machlokus about how many shinuyim are actually going on in this story. Forget the number issue, because Rava threw that out. But Rashi here, in source Tezvav, dekamashani, he says, shalova rechayim. First of all, you're not doing it in a mill. Vishalabamadocha, and it's also not within the mortar. So Rashi mentions two things, not just one. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Shin Chaval of Zion brings both, and the both shinuyim, and the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that that means you need two shinuyim, and he follows this view. However, the Magen Avraham says no. The Magen Avraham says one shinuy is enough. He says, I read the same Gemara you did in Source Tezayin. He says, Kasha, Dabba Gemara Lo, Hiskir Alachad Shinuy, Dayan Abisaki. He says, the Gemara only mentioned one shinuy. And fundamentally, I have to admit, being puzzled by the Aruch HaShulchan, because it's really one shinuy. I didn't use a mill, and I didn't use a mortar, but it's one shinuy. It's the thing in which the item is being ground up. Unless you're going to say, the Aruch HaShulchan's defense will be, that a mortar, saying mill, rechayim, isn't just a shinui of the receptacle, but it's a shinui also of the type of blade that you're using, because you're doing it with the side, with the handle of the knife, as opposed to using a cutting thing. So maybe that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is basing it on. But that seems to be a machlokes acharonim, whether you need one shinui or two shinuyim. The other exception to it is potentially if you do it close to when you will eat. So there is a machlokes as to whether that will permit it. The Rashba brings this in Dalet Ayin Hey. It's in You had Zion on your sheet, thank you. He says, Mistabra, the Hadda Parim Silka Dafka B'machadech Dak Dak Kdela Ochlo Lemachar.
He has Paris.
Oh, he has Paris. Yeah, that's the famous thing. Fine. The point isn't that. The point is that I didn't want to go there with this. It's not. He says,
at this point, it is a point.
Correct. They're just noting the Rashba says Paris, and there is in fact a discussion about the proper gears in the Gemara, Paris Silka or Parim Silka. But the Rashba says that it's if you cut it finely to eat it tomorrow, or to do it even that day, but an hour later, it should say probably Be'erev Bishulo, because people usually cut it up the day before, as long as it's not onions and garlic, right? But if that's what's normally done, to be done with it, and then you just, and you leave it for an hour, then you're chayav. Avala ochlo miyad mutter, but do it right away, that's fine. Shol asu al adam la ochlo, and again, it should probably be le'achol, ma'achalo, chatichos gedalos ketanos. The problem is not having food in small pieces. The problem is when you cut it and leave it. Just like we say regarding Boer, we have that discussion as well. The Ran brings this as well in Shabbos, Islamid Beis Amud Aleph in his Dapim, and it's quoted in the Rama in Shin Chaf Aleph Yud Beis. Take a look at Yud Ches. Hamachatech Yerek Daktak Chayiv Mishum Tochein. That's your Shulchan Aruch, and then the Rama writes Vudin Da'aser Lakol Grogos VeCharuvim Lefnei Zekenim. Also, cutting up dried figs and carobs before the elders. V'Dafka Perus Chodom Alazeh Aser of Amutel Lefar Lechem Dat. I'm not on that right now. V'Chol Zeh, the third line in Yuches. V'Chol Zeh Lo Mari Ele B'Chotechu Meiniach. That's only if you're cutting it and leaving it. Avom La'Ochlam Miyad Hakol Shari. But if it's to eat right away, then it's all mutter, just like V'Dehavi Aparu Lechom Miyad. Just like regarding Boer. That's the position of the Shulchan Aruch. The Aruch HaShulchan asks, then why don't I borrow the heter of doing it by hand from Boer, not using a kli? And he says, the answer is his mutter anyway, because grinding, as we said earlier, is by definition with a tool. If you do it, if you make it into small pieces by hand, that's not Boer, that's not Tochein.
But then you need gold in Boer to make it okay? Yad Miyad?
No, but he's just asking, why don't we borrow that as well? Yeah, no, that's true. So the question then is, what the... That's what they're saying. You can do Samach L'Seudah with a Meducha and you'd be fine. Because if you could borrow the requirement of it not being with a Kli, it would be Mutter anyway, because it's not Tochein once it's not with a Kli. That's the idea. So how do we define Samach L'Seudaso? So a little bit of definition on this is useful. There are three different views. One view is it's a fixed period of time, no matter the needed time for preparation, doesn't make a difference. And that was you saw the Rashba said 1 hour, and the question is, does he mean it literally? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, and you have it there on your sheet, I think I'm just going to say it outside of that because it's already 11:08. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rama, and he says, not until you leave shul. That's his definition. He says, Ad Yitzias Beis HaKnesses. That's when you're allowed to get started. But that's it. That's a fixed period of time. Doesn't matter how many people you have, whatever it is. Shuas Ben Hagos thinks that's not what the Mishnah Berurah means. The Shuas Ben Hagos is in Beis Kufayin Tes. I didn't bring you his piece on the Mishnah Berurah, but I did bring you his piece from Chazon Ish. In Source Chaf, and he says half an hour, and it doesn't matter how many people you're preparing for, half an hour. Rabbi Binyamin Zilber, in his Bris Olam, writes after leaving shul, like the Mishnah Berurah does, and then in his Nidru, he clarifies it's half an hour, because that's the definition of Samuch L'Seudaso, in other areas of Halacha as well. Samuch means half an hour. No word on whether this shows Manios or not. Maybe you just have to go faster in the wintertime.
Cold. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Sorry. What's your problem? Oh, the Minha. Yeah. You know what? That wasn't retyping. That was OCR. That was an OCR from a PDF. Okay. Thank you. That's all one view. It's a set period of time. When you leave shul, 1 hour, half an hour, whatever. Then you have the view of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, no, it's a flexible period of time. It's the normal time when a woman prepares the food for a meal. Don't get on my case about him saying woman. He says woman. In Chav Beis, he says, I cook dinner. Ein sha zu shal shir sha el azmat shaderach hu le'isha zu. He says, it's not just any woman, it's this particular woman. How long does it take her to prepare? And if that's the answer, that's the time that you prepare right before the meal. The Chuas on Hagos, that I had before, quotes are of Ben Zion Feldman, who proved that it does depend on how many guests you have. Because there's a Shara Tzion who talks about shelling eggs from Mincha Ketana on Yom Kippur for that night. And he says, well, it depends how many people you have eating at your meal. And then the Chuas on Hagos has his own very detailed recommendation, which he brings you in, and I have here in Chav Gimel. The Chuas on Hagos says, even if we will be lenient and say that where you have many guests, you can do it longer before the meal, it should be at the end of the preparations that you do for that meal after the other preparation. So the actual borer or tochen, depending on what you're talking about, will continue until the meal itself. The table has to be set, and he says you have to do this in the kitchen or some other room that's right near the meal so that it is clear that this is for the sake of the meal. He wants you to get rid of all other possibilities, and everybody knows this is Samach L'Sudaso. If you could hang a sign saying Samach L'Sudaso, that would be even better. And he says, by the way, if I can get an Anjou to do it, then all these things go out the window. You shouldn't do it at all.
Shmir Shabbos is more Mako on this. I think
yes. Sorry?
You can't prepare salad in your house.
To someone else's house. That's right. He would say that's not called Samach L'Sudaso. He would not be happy. What?
If you're doing bowl rare and you're doing the tchina on what was lavurar, you can't do both at the very end.
Right. Now you'd have a problem.
Yeah.
Which one is going to go first? Right. And the answer we would say is just don't eat salad.
The woman walks with her husband involved.
Right. Okay. I should note, though, and this is really important, the whole heter of miyad is mipukpak. Not everybody likes this heter at all. The Shilta Gibarim did not like this heter of miyad. The Magen Avraham in Shin Chaf Aleph Tesvav quotes it, and the Mishnah Berurah, which I brought you on your sheet in Chaf Dalid, says, he brings Shari, the Rama says Mutter, some didn't like this. And Beis Yosef Kasav, Sha'af Mishamachav, and Lachom Biyad, Gam Kenizar, Lachto Chachatichos Gedolos Ktsas. No, I don't know what that means. Large enough that a child would not swallow it, but an adult would swallow it? I don't know. When we time that Kasu Kamachron, Gam Kedinachon, it's not a Kamosha Kasav, a Beis Yosef. So they don't like the Tochin for Miyad. Heter, I do think it's something that one could potentially use in a Shas Hadchak situation, right? They would be that miyad. I'm thinking of a case in which this happens very often. You go to somebody's house, and maybe they don't know the laws of Tochin, and maybe it's not a fine situation, not a good situation, sorry, to go start teaching them, you know, about it, and you see them cutting up for the salad, but it's right before the meal. So I don't think you have to say to yourself, oh no, now we have a problem, this malacha was done. I think you have Almi Lismach. I think the Rashba qualifies for an Almi Lismach, for someone to, not to mention the Rama, fine. But the Rashba was a Sephardi, so he's more Almi Lismach. So I think that you have something to work with, you know, in that situation. Okay. So that's in terms of the grinding act itself. It's when you cut it into small pieces, the Shmir Shabbos likes swallowable pieces. Long strips are fine for food, per Rav Moshe. Shinui might permit this entirely, not clear whether it's one shinui or two shinuyim. And doing it close to eating might permit it entirely. But again, this Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham, are not happy because of the Shilta Gibarim. What about the material you are cutting? So here we go. We know that it includes non-food items from the barrel and basket cases back on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. But among food items, why did the Gemara bring me beets specifically? What is it that I meant to understand from that? So the answer is it's a machlokas. Tosas and the Rush say you're not supposed to extrapolate. It's only tochein if it's beets. There's a big heter for you. Take a look at Chav Hey. Hai man deparim silka, davka besilka shayach techina, avashar ochlin shari. So what is Tuchina worried about miyad? Not miyad with the salad, just don't eat beets. Your suit,
what they used
your shirt, well, thank you.
That was what they used in the Mishkan, only beets?
Well, actually, no. The argument for silka is that it's unique because it produces a dust when it comes out. It's not that, it's producing the dust that's the problem. I guess if you're cutting up raw beets, I mean, the truth is I have cut up raw beets, I haven't noticed any dust. But it produces some kind of a, except the dust if it's still dirty, but in Washington.
They have using different foods at the time.
Did they have beets in France? Yes. In France they had everything. They're near to the Mediterranean. Yeah. Anything you had in Poland, you had in France. That's a general rule. But they just go the other way.
It's really the
The How else do they make borscht? They okay.
Borscht isn't French.
That's a joke. Okay. So the but that's the position of Tosis and the Rosh. The Trumas Hadeshin explains a logic that's different from the Dust logic. The Trumas Hadeshin in Vav. He was asked about cutting meat. Was his issue. But he says, Ikala Meimar and Chavav, Dahadi Tira Tosis Litchon Ochlin, and Tosis permits grinding up food, Haina Mishum, Dain Sarach Tachina. That's because they don't really need Tochain. Diboy Achlik Moshu Shalem, Vahayalawaso Bain Shinav. He could just have it and he could even chew it. It could be without processing, and therefore Tochain is not relevant, right? This goes back again to our definition of the Malacha of Tochain. If it's not needed, it's already in usable form, then I don't need I don't need to be Tochain, and therefore Tochain is not really relevant. The Igle Tal asks a question. He says, does that mean then that Bishul shouldn't apply to apples? Right? Because you can eat apples raw. So you can be Mavashal apples on Shabbos. He says, no. And this goes back to the point about transformation. He says, Bishul is transformative. Cutting fundamentally is not. Although he says pulverizing might be, and then he goes back to the cheese grinding discussion, which we're not having about the sledge and the issue of Uda Dechol. But that's his idea, is that pulverizing may be transformative. Bishul is transformative. Cutting is not really transformative. And therefore, if the item is usable as is, it's not token. And that's his explanation of the Shita of Tosos and the Rush. Pesach, you were going to say something? Or?
I was just wondering if maybe you, just going back to what you said before about beets and the technical thing, because maybe it's not normal to eat beets without cutting them.
Not normal to eat beets without cutting them, right? Well right, and I think you could make that. No, I think that's the Trumas Hadeshin's argument, right? Think Leital brings it also in Sivkat and Yudzayin on Tochin. In it's Sivkat and Yudzayin, Sivkat and Katan Aleph.
So is mashing a banana or potato transformative or not?
So again, I'm leaving out the mashing discussion because it involves other complications that I'm just not going to get into here. Aside from lush, complications within Tochein. But the second view, which is the Rambam's view and seems to make it into the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, is that no, we include vegetables as well. I brought it in Chav Zayin, where you see it quite clearly. HaTochein kegro geres chayav, v'chol ha-shulchein tavlin v'saman v'achtesh v'edach v'chayav, ha-machatech yerek talush, ha-reza told us Tochein. He doesn't say silka, right? Yerek, that's it, good enough. The Torah records the issue beyond Silka, even though his father is the Rosh. Nonetheless, the Torah quotes it, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, and that's the halacha. We don't follow the view that it's just beets. What about fruit? So the Rambam does this really funny thing in Chafal Yuches, in Source Chafes. He says, Hamachatech has a Yerek dak dak, right? He goes through the vegetables, and therefore he says, you should not be morasic, you should not crush Shachas, fodder, and Charuvin, caribs. And then he says, Hamachatech has a Deluin, you're allowed to cut gourds in front of animals and the Nevela for the Klavim. Why? She'ein Tchina Beperos. Because Tochin doesn't apply to fruit. So last I checked, Nevelos were not fruit. Charuvin were fruit, and Deluin were not fruit, right? Deluin are gourds. So I don't understand the Rambam when he says, no, fruit aren't included, like gourds and Nevela and figs. I don't know what you're talking about. So this is very problematic. The Aruch HaShulchan is really angry about this. He quotes you various sources that seem to conflict with this, like the Tosefta and Beitza and Source Chafes, which says, Ein Maraskin, you're not allowed to crush Nevela Ugroros V'Chavruvin, right? The Elibasai, he's talking about Yom Tov. But he says figs and caribs. That's on the Tosefta's list. The Rishalmi has peppers on the list of things you can't grind, but peppers are considered fruit as far as Arla is concerned. That's a whole discussion. The Rambam excludes gourds, right? Delas. But if you look at Mishnahs and Maestros, those are vegetables. So I don't know what the Rambam is talking about. So two different ways to resolve this Rambam. The Magid Mishnah finds an addition which says that grinding only applies to fruit. Which is just great. That's out of the frying pan into the fire, as the Beis Yosef says. Now you haven't. Yes, the Magid Mishnah. The Beis Yosef says that didn't help. Grinding applies to wood. What do you mean? It definitely applies to fruit. Yeah. So the silka clearly is fruit. Beets are a fruit. They get your clothing dirty like fruit. The Aruch HaShulchan gives a different answer. The Aruch HaShulchan says that what the Rambam means to exclude, and this goes back to our definition of Tochin, it's in Source Lamed, he says what the Rambam means is, it it's really just about things that you normally cut really finely. Yeah, I don't care what species it is. Avoperos, they don't normally cut fruit into very fine pieces, and Luwin and so on. It's really just, I'm not going to go into what Ugarekis are and Barekis and everything else. Ask the Hungarians. But that's the way he understands it, which is consistent. It's consistent with what we said. Yeah, kraut, I know. The others are. Okay. I'm not getting into this discussion. This is consistent with the Egle Tal's point about tochin in general. Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch prohibits grinding, and he does not distinguish between vegetables and fruit.
Okay,
that's the right. Radishes are on his list also. But that's the way we look at it. Is that it's all of the above. So what we're saying is we do extrapolate from silka to vegetables. However, we have a few requirements. Number one, it has to come from the ground. That's the Trumas Hadeshin discussion regarding meat, which I brought you here in Lamed Beis. He's talking about cutting meat. He says, "Lo dami le'etzim uperos v'lechem de'inu kulam gedelim in haaretz." It's not like these other items, wood and fruit and bread. You didn't get the Rambam's memo. Which all grow from the ground. V'yesh min etchina, and there is grinding for them, and so on. He says that's not true when you're dealing with meat. And the Shulchan Aruch indeed paskins this way in Source Lamed Gimel. Mutar lachtoch basar mevushalo tzli dak besakin. You are allowed to cut meat that's been cooked or roasted. You can cut it really fine with a knife. However, his examples were cooked meat, right? What if it is raw? Then what are you going to do? So Rav Ribiak points out, and I think it's clear from the sources here, that if it's inedible, then we don't apply the food rule if it has to come from the ground, because it's not food. So I brought it here in Lamed Daled. He said that if the food items that do not grow from the ground are inedible, the italics are his, they are subject to tochein, because in such cases the grinding process is indeed a significant act of improvement.
So it allows you to cook more easily.
Yeah, what's the best here you're talking about?
The point is that it's not called food while it's in its raw state. Raw meat. You mean yes, it wouldn't be for a human being, it's for an animal. Which leads to other discussions about tircha for animals. Yeah. That's a whole other discussion. But yes, that's what it would be. Okay, so requirement is that it comes from the ground, right? That's number one. Requirement number two, item that will be cooked, potentially. Remember we saw the Rambam, I brought it for you again over here. The Rambam writes, it's in Source Lamed Hay. The Rambam writes, it's if you cut up the vegetable into small pieces to cook it. In Lamed Vav, the Rambam again, from Perek Chaf Aleph, he says, Hareza told us tochein. It's only if you're going to cook the vegetables. Well, in that case, once again, my salad is fine. I'm cutting it up in order to eat it raw. What's the Rambam talking about? So there are two different ways to take the Rambam, and they both rely on the idea that tochein is really about usability of the item. The approach of the Beis Yosef is to say, yes, the Rambam means exactly what you thought he meant. And Beis Yosef in Lamed Zayin says, I'm going to say it outside because we only have a few minutes. Actually, we're at the end. This is good. Beis Yosef says, Nirashu Zalmafarish didavka nakat silka shechotchenos adak dak libishul. He says, that's why silka was used. That's why silka was the paradigm. That's another explanation for why silka specifically is because you cut it up finely for cooking. And therefore other vegetables that are cut for cooking also. And he says, even if they're edible raw, we might still apply this. Even if they're edible raw, if you intend to cook them, also chayav. So carrot, let's say. You want to cut the carrot really small, but you can eat it raw, you're fine. That's not tochein. You want to cut the carrot really fine and then cook it, now you have a problem. That would be the distinction that the Beis Yosef draws. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that's not correct. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Rambam is defining the shear for cutting. He says, Lulei Divrei Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef, I would have said what he meant was, Ein Kavanaso, it's in Lamed Ches, Ein Kavanaso Davka Livashlo, Ela Klomer Shemechatcho Dak Dak Ad Kidei Livashlo. To the point where it's fine enough that you could cook it. That's what he says the Rambam is doing. In practice, interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow this Rambam at all. That even though the Beis Yosef went to trouble to explain the Rambam's Shita, they nonetheless doesn't apply it. Instead, it doesn't distinguish at all between whether you're going to cook it or not, and so this is not actually an out for my salad. The other requirement is the shear of the food that is to be cut up, where we say the shear is kigrogeres, right? The dried fig amounts. So the Aruch HaShulchan clarifies that this is regarding food. If it's the other materials that we've talked about, the reed basket or whatever, it's not a grogeres. The Rambam writes, did I bring it on here? Yeah, the Rambam writes the grogeres in Lamed Tes and says that less than a shear, you're going to be potur. The Lech HaMishnah is bothered. He says, but isn't it Lech HaShenetzvich Legufa then? Why would you be potur? And Lech HaMishnah's answer is yes, but then it's Mekalkil, because it's a destructive act. If you grind something up into small pieces and it's not a shear that's usable, then it's just Mekalkil. And that's why the Rambam will say, you are potter. There is, I didn't bring it on here, but you know it anyway, the last note, the exception to the rule regarding tochein is if it's already been ground up. So bread is the classic example. You made it out of flour. So since it has already been ground up, there is no issur of regrinding it. And that's the other heter for slicing bread, aside from Ramosha's point, that we said before, it'll still be fine. So to sum up what we said in this last piece about the material includes non-food. Among food items, Tosfos and the Rosh think it's only silka. However, we generally extrapolate to vegetables in general. The Rambam seems to exclude fruit, but the Aruch HaShulchan's resolution, which I think makes sense, is that it's not an exclusion of fruit, it's an exclusion of items that people don't normally grind. In practice, the Shulchan Aruch prohibits grinding and does not differentiate vegetables and fruit. We say that it has to come from the ground in order for it to be tochein. Excuse me, unless you're talking about something that needs to be ground up in order to make it edible. If it's inedible right now, then it's not food, and the non-food items don't... No, that's not true. Say that better. If it's a food that doesn't come from the ground and it's currently inedible, then it is subject to tochein. That's a better way to frame it.
As a non-food.
Correct. In practice, we do not exclude items that are going to be raw, despite the language of the Rambam, and the shear is kigrogeres, and you can't regrind. There's no such thing. So what we're going to do is, on Thursday, God willing, at 12 o'clock, I apologize if the time doesn't work for some people, but 12 to 12:30 on Thursday, I'm going to cover the medicine discussion and its various applications, Bizman Hazeh, and then Friday of the following week, in other words, 2 weeks from today, God willing, I'll be doing Lush.
So
just in time for Yom Tov.
He has transformed so to speak. Like Bishol, right? They just like